Okay, Kedusha, V'chol Mechalech HaKadosh.
Okay.
Is that on? So the whole series of halachas that appear in Hilchos Kriyas Shema that are not really Kriyas Shema per se, they're really Hilchos, Brachas, Tamat Torah, Tefillah, anytime you have to, any Vamsha Kedusha, they made their way into Hilchos Kriyas Shema because they appear in the third paragraph of Brachas, because that's the first mitzvah that they are presented vis-a-vis. So there are two dinim, but a dinim in a Torah that one has to be careful about when one says Kriyash or any other Dvarim Shem, Kedusha, any other Shem, Hashem, etc. So one is that one has to be, the area has to be clear of Tzoa. How do we know that? So that's derived from the Psukim in Bashat Kiseite that speak about when you're at the war, there's a mitzvah, the Shabbat, the Chesis Tezach, you have to cover up all the Tzoa, all the stuff that comes out, it has to be covered up properly. Why is that? Yashem Lokech, the Salam Kebach, and Echazik, Baruch was in your presence. The Tosha Lepeh explains to us that even though obviously the simple reading of the Pesukim will talk about the Jewish soldiers going out on the battlefront, nevertheless, since the Torah relates this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu's present, when you say the Shem Hashem, when you say the Divrei Torah, which I like the Shem Hashem, so that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, so that's considered to be also a violation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. And therefore the din is, you have to make sure that all these things are covered up appropriately. What exactly are these things? So Tzoa is first and foremost. So Meraglayim, the Gemara says that it depends. And if Meraglayim is coming out at that time of somebody, so that's considered to be an Issa Min HaTorah, to say the Torah in front of. If the Meraglayim already fall onto the floor, so then that would only be an Issa the Rabbana. But yeah, that's going to be too much of an afternoon. But you've got to make sure that everything is clear. So that's one series of dinim that's learned out from these Pesukim. The Gemara has a lot of very, very intricate details about the parameters of these dinim. We're not going to go through them right now. Suffice it to say, if this tzoya, be it tzidit tzoa or be it smelled tzoa, any of the above are problematic. Then there is a second din, also derived from this pesukim, where the Torah says, "Well, yirbucha erva's davar." The Torah uses the phrase erva here, which teaches us that anytime you say divrei Torah or kriyas shema except in the presence of the erva, that is also considered to be a problem. What does that mean, the presence of erva? When the Gemara says, first and foremost, when the makom erva is begula, whether it's your erva, somebody else's erva, man's erva, woman's erva, it doesn't matter. Just saying divrei Torah in the presence of the makom erva itself, be begula, that is also min haTorah. The Gemara says that din doesn't apply to hero. The first din does apply to hero. The din of tzoa does apply to hero, but the din of erva doesn't apply to hero because it says loyer b'chayevas davar. So we Tosh Rapeh says davar is a lashon dibur, that only if you actually speak out the word, the person's learning in a place where someone is dressed inappropriately, that wouldn't pose a problem. What exactly constitutes erva for these purposes? So the Gemara has a whole series of dinim at the end of the third parak of Maseches Brachos that these dinim don't only apply to the erva makom erva mamish. They apply to other parts of the body that are also quasi mekayimus of erva. What are considered to be mekayimus of erva? The Gemara speaks about the shirt b'isha erva, and the Gemara speaks about seyar b'isha erva, the Gemara speaks about kol b'isha erva, and then the Gemara talks about tefach, an area of a woman's body which is normally covered. Also the din of an erva. So there's a whole array of different lower level areas of erva that are also subject to these to this halacha. So there is a big, big, big machlekes haposkim as to how to understand these secondary dinim. When the Gemara speaks about the shok and the seyer and the tefach, so what exactly does that mean? So one could argue that the Gemara means that these are mamish dinim makamer. The halach is megal to us that shok is tachak called the makamer. But there's no difference between saying divrei Torah in front of a person who's legamri not dressed or in front of someone who's partially not dressed. That if the part of the area that the halacha considered to be, someone has to be covered, that's dinuk erva, the gabi this halacha. And then there are others who say that that's not the pshat. What the Gemara means is that part of this idea, you're not supposed to say the return of erva, is because it's like Mishum Hiror, it's such a steer to the Kedusha. You say the return, you say Brach, Sadat, and Krishma, you say the Shem Hashem, the name of a fachad, and the person's in the state of Hiror, so that's a terrible bizoyan to the Shem Hashem. So to a certain degree, you have here or here as well. So even though apidin, this is not really called erva. The Torah says, "Lemcha erva is dava." Erva means erva. Erva means mamish oisin makom. Bein the ish, bein the isha. Bein yours, bein somebody else's. But the fact that you're not allowed to say the Torah when shok, the woman is uncovered, or say of isha erva, so those are more here to kedinim than they are makom erva mamish. Might have to be, at the end of the day, it's also. So big enough to be is ladina. So there's a Mishmachlekes Aposkim. Let's say a person is standing in front of Erev Mamash, and Erev Gemura is exposed, and he simply closes his eyes, simply just turns his head a little bit, he looks down, he's not looking. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that that's okay, because it's not the year B'chok, you're not looking at it. So most of the Acharonim disagree with that Pesach Shulchan Aruch. We don't really follow that. Most of us can say that if the Erev is there, so then if you mamash turn your whole body around and look in the other direction, the Gamrei says then that's not in front of you. But if the Erev is in front of you, the fact that you're just looking down a little bit, you turn your head and drop, you close your eyes, that's not going to solve the problem. So we assume Allah against that Shulchan Aruch. But many Acharonim write that B'med Devar Mamurim, we assume against that Shulchan Aruch. That's when we're dealing with Erva Mamish. When we're dealing with just a Shoktish Erva or other kinds of Tevelish Erva, so then the Svar Shulchan Aruch Taka makes sense. Because since the whole reason for the secondary halacha of non-real Erva is just Altiror, if the mice, you're not seeing it. You're not seeing it, not being Maharin. It might have Kamina whether you're in another room, might have Kamina with your eyes are closed. If your eyes are closed, then there's no problem with your. So if you were to take the view that Tefach Misha Erev and Shepach of Erev and all these other things are Mamish Dinok Erev, so we who reject the Shulchan Aruch's Kula by closing our eyes, by real Erev, would be forced to reject it here as well. But those, many Achmarim say that we're not Mechuyif to reject Shulchan Aruch in these other cases, because the Shulchan Aruch Svar makes sense when the whole incident we're dealing with is only Atzira in the first place. So there seems to be a very, very solid rias to that distinction. One of the rayas that Shabur already quotes a shot about this, or more quotes two opinions about this, is that what's the din if, let's say you have a woman who's standing in front of another woman. So a woman wants to make a bracha, and there's another woman standing in front of her, and the other woman is undressed. So if she's undressed in Gamre, that's a problem. The issue of Erva is, even in front of my own Erva, that's a problem. So if the other woman, let's say, woman A is totally undressed, and woman B wants to make a bracha, that would be a problem. But what if woman A is not totally undressed? What if woman A is just not dressed appropriately? So then there are more quotes there. Many Mishayim will say that's not a problem. But that wouldn't be a problem of Tefach Misha Erva. Tefach Misha Erva is for a man in front of a woman, not a woman in front of a woman. What's the Svar L'chalik? There's a Pasha. That if you say that the Torah says, Shom B'Isha is called an Erva Adgam, it's an objective Erva, so then just as Erva Mamish is a problem for one woman to another, Shok B'Isha Erva should be a problem for one woman to another also. But for the fact that the most of Mishanim hold that the secondary Aloch of Tefach and Shok and all those other things don't apply between women, they only apply for men to women, that's a dead giveaway that this is not a din of objective Erva, this is a din of Hirur. And therefore, if it's a din of Hirur, then it would make sense that closing the eye should help. Where there seems to be a very, very solid raya to this effect. That's a Mishnah in Maseches Challah. The Mishnah Challah speaks about a woman being mafresh challah, that she's not dressed. So the Mishnah says a woman sitting on the floor, completely undressed. It says Isha Aruma. So the Mishnah says it's okay, she can be mafresh challah. Why can she be mafresh challah? Because she can make a bracha. Why can she make a bracha? Because the erva is covered up. Means when a woman sits flat on the floor, so her mokum erva is covered by the ground. So the Mishnah says she can make a bracha. How can she make a bracha? But the rest of her body is uncovered. So the answer is, but that's not a problem. Why is it not a problem? If her erva itself would be uncovered, that would be a problem even for herself. But since her legs and other parts of her body are not called the makom erva mamish, they're just the issue of hirur, so the issue of hirur doesn't apply for the woman herself. It doesn't apply from one woman to another, it only applies from a man to a woman. So the fact that the simple reading of the Mishnah is that she's not wearing anything, and she can still make a bracha, because the erva mamish is covered up by the ground, that seems to indicate that this secondary din is not really an objective din of erva. It's really a din of hirur, and if and when you can get around the hirur problems, that should solve the problem. This is important for us, the halacha, in terms of closing eyes and things like that. This is also important in terms of what age this halacha kicks in. So the Mishnah Berurah here quotes a chumra. The Mishnah Berurah is meant to halacha a little bit on part of the shot, then he quotes a chumra, and he says that how old does a little girl have to be before this halacha kicks in? So there's a machlekes in Rishonim about what about mamash a baby? Is there a din of rosa erva a little baby? The Rishonim had a machlekes when the male does a bris, is he mechuyif to cover over the aver of the baby before he makes the bracha? So most of the poskim say he's not mechuyif to, because the din of erva doesn't start until the child is Roi Leviya. So it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai for a boy until the age of 9, it's Abiyah Sevilla. For a girl until the age of 3. So how can you call that a Mokam Erev? It's not a Mokam Biyah, it's gorgeous, it's nothing. So that's what we assume Halacha. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that, let's say the child's over 3, little girl's over 3 years old. So the Mishnah Berurah says that not only do you have to be careful not to say Dibrei Torah in front of the Erev Mamash, the girl's running around without a diaper on, so you can't say Dibrei Torah even if she's over the age of 3. But even if she is covered with Mokom Erva, but her legs are exposed, other parts of her body are exposed, that the halacha requires to be covered. So Mishnah Berurah says, after the age of three, the game's over. That it's considered to be a makom erva. So the Chazanish disagreed with that. The Chazanish said that would be true if it would be an objective din of erva, but it's not really an objective din of erva. It's really more of a din of hearer. So the girl's 3 years old in a week. So it's hard to believe any normal person would be maharanar. So therefore, one can argue that the number 3 years old is not written in stone. The correct shear is how old is it? They reach a point where you'll be maharanar. So when it comes to erva mamish, literally the girls walk, the little 5 year old walking around totally undressed, that would be a problem. But if she's dressed, she's wearing shorts, whatever, not causing any error, so the chara, that wouldn't be any worse than saying divrei Torah with your eyes closed. It's probably the same kind of a kula. This is probably spills over to the more basic question as to what age should these girls be dressed properly. When do you start dressing the girls in, long sleeves and stockings and whatever you think the standards of a tzniyas are? So at what age in the elementary school should that kick in? So according to Mishnah Berurah, it should start at 3 years old. According to Chazanish, it probably starts to drop later. It's not 100% clear at what age, but it's probably not exactly 3 years old. It is this sugya that brings about the major discussion about the Seir B'Isha Erva. The Gemara says in that same sugya in Brachas, Seir B'Isha Erva. And here, well, we assume halacha that only applies to Seir of a married woman. So even though it's not 100% clear that the Rambam, some say, doesn't seem to say that, but we assume halacha that that's not the case. We assume halacha that the girl is single, so definitely married, let's say, so there really is no din of Seir B'Isha Erva until the point that she gets married. So this was a big question that the very famous Aruch HaShulchan in this sugya that has been quoted and misquoted and misconstrued time and time again. So we'll tell what the Aruch HaShulchan does say. So Aruch HaShulchan raises the question. He writes that in his days, he was a rabbi in the late 1800s, so he writes that in his days already, this modern phenomenon had started that many married women weren't covering their hair. They were otherwise Shabbat mitzvahs, but this Mishigas crept into, we know for a fact, it crept into the Jewish community. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that maybe one can argue if you live in a community where a lot of the women are not covering the hair, so you can argue that there's not really a hero for that anymore. So the person is going to say, you go to a chassid and you're benching, and a woman sitting next to you is a married woman without a hair covered. So Aruch HaShulchan argues that maybe you can say there's no real hero under those circumstances. It's so mekubal already that she's not covering hair. So some people, of course, mistakenly say, oh, you see, Aruch HaShulchan, and if no one's covering the hair, you don't have to cover the hair. So nonsense. Aruch HaShulchan writes about 15 times in the same piece. That's a terrible thing. We have to stop it. It's a terrible, terrible piritza. But the lemaise, that's the reality in the 1890s. That was the reality. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that maybe the Gabi saying brachas and Krishna, things like that, maybe the hero issue wouldn't apply. So not everyone agreed to that, Aruch HaShulchan. So different opinions about that. But usually what you can do, this is the common kind of a shayla, so you look down a little bit, you find yourself at a Shabbos meal and someone's not dressed 100%, so when you say the Shem HaShem, you bench, look down, close your eyes, you maneuver yourself in such a way. But according to the Aruch HaShulchan's cheshbon, so it would be mutter if you live in a place where the women are not necessarily following that halacha properly. It's in the same siman in Shulchan Aruch with some of the din of Kol Isha mentioned. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that you have to be careful that if you're hearing Kol Isha, you shouldn't be hearing Kol Isha in the first place. But if for some reason you are hearing Kol Isha, then you have to be careful not to be saying in the retail. So you're stuck somewhere, you're sitting and learning on the train, and a woman walks in and starts singing. So you're taught to get off the train in the middle of the train. So you should. Switch to the hero mode rather than just be maharin the ritara, rather than actually saying the words. It's preferable not to be saying the ritara if you're in a state of being exposed to erva and kol isha. We assume may very well be part of this. It's not 100% clear whether that's true that the kol isha erva carries over the erva in the sister also, but according to some it does. So we should try to be try to end up not being stuck in these kinds.
What if a girl is like humming?
Humming. Okay? Alright, anyway, so those are the basic dinim, obviously a lot more important details about this sugya, but for our purposes of Kriyashma, that's suffices. There's another din that appears, it actually takes up almost the second half of the third pech of brachas, that's not too relevant with Balazan, that's the din of Balkaris. And Mishnah says that Ezra made it that kana, that a Balkari is not allowed to say Kriyashma, not allowed to say brachas, a whole series of different things that you're not supposed to learn. until he goes to the mikvah. So the Gemara seems pretty clear that's not a midiraisa, not part of Sekhla, but it's pretty clear that it was just a takonis Ezra, was a takonis midirabonon. And the Gemara links it to a possible chumash about just as about Torah, there the aim of Yira, the Makabal Torah, we talk, you know, tremendous Yerushimayim, and Balak carried out the mikvah. So Ezra patterned, you know, coming to Beis Medrash, coming to St. Krishma after that model of the Torah, but he most probably didn't mean that it was a real midiraisa, that it was a takonis chumash. So the Gemara says at the end of the third paragraph of the second brachas that in the later days, so that takana was abolished. The Gemara says that in the days, by the days of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, so in the practice already, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said we don't have to follow that takana anymore. And the Gemara says in the later generations, no amuk Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. The meaning became to follow Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and basically to ignore that whole takana says. The whole sugya is 10 blot of Beseira's brachas, all that takana says. The Gemara basically concludes was no longer practiced. So he says that Bob Kash and Bob Kamat says, what do you do the long breath? Because the Kod of Ezra, we have a rule, the Gemara says that in days of Yochel Abad, in days of Chaveir, in days of Chaveir, in days of that a later days cannot undo a earlier days unless they have Gol B'chach of Minyan. Rechim is covered, we remember say, where he probably wasn't Gol B'chach of Minyan, then Ezra. So how did that? How did this practice disappear off the face of the earth? So Taisus invokes the Gemara of the Nazar that says that we have a Gezeru that was never in this Kabla, but Rebbe had Tzibur, so that it's very easy to be Mavatla. That when Beza makes a Takona, we're supposed to figure out whether the Tzibur can hold on to it, whether they're able to observe it or not. It would be silly for a Beza to make a Takona if the Tzibur is not going to do it. But you have to make people violate moisture before we have enough trouble with the Yisurim that are on the books. So when you make a Takona, you have to make sure that Yechol Olam is bought. So sometimes it's hard to assess, sometimes the Beza thinks it's Yechol Olam, but then they realize it's not. So they make a Takona thinking it's going to be successful, and then 20 years later they realize there's no one didn't catch on. So the din is, you just move out of the takana and finish. You don't need a base in Gov Chochma of Minyan at that point, because the takana never really took hold. So Taisa suggests maybe that's what happened. And the takana's Ezra was shaky for a couple hundred years. It never really was as makubal as we thought it was. And then finally, in the days of the Tanoim, they say, you don't want to forget about it. Let's just move out of the entry. That's how Taisa presents it. So the Meiri quotes another pshat as to how the days in the later days he got rid of the Takonas Ezra. Meiri has a fascinating pshat. He claims that the Takonas Ezra was not a Takonas, it was a Din Deraisa. When the Gemara says that he said based on the Psukim, Yom Shemat of Shem Lekechav, Odal Lerech Vevanecha, that he patterned learning and saying Brach, so the Krishma, etc. After Mamun Har Sinai, he didn't mean it was a Din Derabana with an Asmach. He meant it was Mamun Shadrasha Deraisa, that he learned as a real Din with Deraisa, that a Balkari is not allowed to learn. It was a real din deraisa. So when Rabbi Yehuda Beseira was mevatel, what that meant is Rabbi Yehuda Beseira darshan the psukim differently. He said, no, that's not what the psukim mean. So what do you mean? How are you going to argue with the earlier basis? And the Rambam in Hilchos Mamre goes to Mishalmi that says that when do we say that a later base then can't argue with the previous base unless they go to Chochma Minyan? That's if they want to uproot a gezeira derabanan. Chazal made a nisa derabanan, so the later base then doesn't have the authority to get rid of it. But if the first base in Darshan the Pasuk, they said a kavachar, they said a svar, and then the later base then thinks that that's not correct. So that's what the din is Eimecha al-Shavim should be a mecha. The Torah says, Abad la-Shavim should be a mecha. You go to the Shofet to the Dayan in those days. You don't go to the Dayan from 1,000 years ago. So therefore, the Rambam writes that whenever it comes to Dinim Deraisa, every generation has to be Machri, whatever they think the Emes is. And even if your Beis Din is less than the previous Beis Din, it doesn't matter. That's what Ramesh Feinstein writes in his introduction to Gris Moshe, that some people were questioning. Sometimes he writes a Tshuva Ramesh, and he says, Chassam Sarif is up there, Zoyin. I disagree. So he asked Ramesh, Ramesh, what do you want from me? So that's what Chumash says. I have to pass in a shaila based on what I think the answer is. That klal of ein beis din yochel abatel b'rabbi Bezalel doesn't apply to every psach that ever instituted in days of Moshe Rabbeinu. That means when there was an official takonis chachamim that was instituted, then the later beis din can't change that. There was no takonis chachamim. There was a beis din that thought that this is the din there, this is a dash the pasuk, and 100 years later the beis din said they don't think it's right. So you have to follow the second beis din. Ein l'chashav should be a mecha. That's what the Ivri says, that there never was a Takonas Ezra. It was a Din Deraisa until they realized later that it wasn't a Din Deraisa. It's not going to be MS, and therefore we don't have to observe it anymore. No matter how you slice it, most of us don't observe Takonas Ezra. Many of you should write, as a Midas Chasidus, it's a nice thing to do. The Rambam writes that he used to try to observe Takonas Ezra whenever he can. So many people follow Midas Chasidus, usually people who are called Chasidim, so they follow Midas Chasidus. So many Chasidim try to follow this together make all the time, never to be in the state of Tumah. Most non-Chasidim don't really follow this. We say brachas, we daven, we're not so worried about this. The only time a year that we get all tzitzit left in the mezuzah is Erev Yom Kippur. The Rush in the end of Yuma quotes from Rosh Hashanah that when you go to the mikveh Erev Yom Kippur, you should make a bracha. Hashem Shabbos was ala tvila. So the Rush says he has no idea why you're making this bracha. He says, what the point? What is the purpose of this bracha? He says there's no mitzvah to go to mikveh. It doesn't appear in the Gemara. But go to mikveh Erev Yom Kippur. What's going on? So later Acharonim suggests that maybe what Rosh Hashanah meant was as follows: that there was a Takanas Ezra, and if you lived in the days of Ezra, you would make a bracha like any other Dinder Rabbanan, Allah Shekh Nishan, Allah Tvila. Except in the late years, they were Mavatha the Takana. So when they were Mavatha the Takana, because it was low Pashta Barov Yisrael, it was low Pashta Barov Yisrael 353 days a year. But there was one day a year that was Taka Pashta Barov Yisrael, that was a new Kippur. So even when they were Mavatha the Takana, they kept it alive for one day. One day a year, the Takana is Bishle Musa, and therefore, if Sadi go in hell, then you have to make a bracha. Because when you go to make every Kippur, you're not going out to Minik, out to Kedusha, Chuva, something. You're going to Kayim, the official Takanas Ezra of not davening in the state of being about Gary. So therefore you have to make a bracha. So we don't really follow that. I'm meaning we don't make a bracha on Erev Yom Kippur, except for one of my boys once made a bracha, remember, once years ago. I brought them to the mikvah in Erev Yom Kippur, and one of my boys was being told over inside, the door was closed, and all of a sudden I hear a bracha. So he came out and he asked him, why do you make a bracha? Because it says the sign, it says before going under the woods, and no water, make a bracha. But that was for the ladies, not for the So the father, I told over the story to somebody. So a year or two later, I noticed that Erev Yom Kippur, there was a sign in the Dinik Mikvah by the tool that says, bracha only recited by women, not by men. That was my schos, Okay, anyway, back to the story. So, but for the most part, the Chodesh Ezra doesn't really apply. So the Chodesh says, even though it's five blocks in the second brachas, we'll kind of streamline it a little bit. So the bottom line is, we have all these other dinim that are not really Krishna dinim, Erevinos, and Tzara, and Chodesh Ezra. These are Devarim, Kedushin, brachas, and Tefillah, and Tabatara dinim that found a way into Krishna for two reasons. Number one, the sugyas appear in brachas, and the sugyas in Krishna. And number two, there's the first place Shulchan Aruch to quote it, so that's where it appears. But it's less to do with Krishna, it has to do with some other things. Okay, so now we move on, hopefully, to our next topic, which we'll pick up next week, and that's the topic of Tefillah. So we don't have too many weeks left for this semester over here, right? What do we have? We have next one. Week. And then, I think we have the following week. I think we still have Yeshiva the following week. Maybe we'll give Shi earlier in the week. Maybe we won't wait till Wednesday. I have Rachel Rachel a couple of away. And then we have maybe 1 week after Pesach or something, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, we got an apple full of those 2 weeks. Okay, good.
You can do it. Okay.